Your reasons for listening to this show, well, those are your own. But just keep in mind that the views, information, or opinions expressed on the Tuttle Daily Podcast are solely those of the individuals involved and do not necessarily represent those of our sponsors. Yeah, it's called free speech, people.
Nobody's forcing you to listen.
Get ready for your daily dose of Tuttle.
The all-time greatest intern slash producer we've ever had, of course, Tuttle. Tuttle in Florida.
From the Hobo Fish Camp, it's the Tuttle Daily Podcast.
No wonder nobody likes you, Tuttle. Everything's a goddamn debate.
Hey, what's up, everybody? Welcome to a Thursday edition of the Tuttle Daily Podcast. I gotta tell you, it's been a great week of shows. Fish on Jay. Yo, yo, sup, Pat Cut. Cowhead stolen moles on your face. Iggy T coming in. I got a lot of great stories. All right. Got a lot of great stories lined up. Plus, I got a great interview. Now, I'm not absolutely sure if it's Timo James, but he also goes by Dick James. He's a hip-hop artist from Mississippi. And I got to tell you, I'm really looking forward to it. Call Me Michaela says, you're killing it at life, Tuttle. Well, thank you. I really do appreciate that. And Spice Boys Gold Mike Doorstop, I tell you, you got one of the best intros. So I love it. Jason Martin, sounds great, Tuttle. You know, I mean, I know that it is very... hackish, amateurist, I don't even know if that's a word, then I gotta, like, get the listeners, my producer, to tell me if the audio is sounding good. Ah, Jake, yeah, Jake, I totally forgot about that. Jake is from Mississippi as well. Oh, yeah, man. Well, what a hell of a shootout that the Calgary Flames, I think the final score of that game was 9-6. It was 9-6, and that's a hell of a thing. And Call Me Akela does bring up a great point. Hey, Twitch people, host a show if you can. If you could do that, that would be great because it would help get the show out there. Because I do go on some shows. And the funny thing is that I've pretty much repaired all the bridges that I burnt down. Well, hell, I won't even say burned down. The ones that I absolutely nothing but ashes left of the bridges. Because I was a complete asshole back in the day. I was the biggest asshole. And I took it all personally. You know, I'm good with Drew Garabo. I'm good with Russ and the Monsters. I'm good with Bubba. But the only thing about Bubba's show is that, I mean, Call Me Michaela, you're right. I was going to say that. You were over-medicated back in the day. I was over-medicated with prescription drugs, but I was also self-medicating with a bunch of stuff. Drugs and alcohol. And I'm not making excuses because I chose to throw that and pour that stuff down my throat. What up, Redbeard underscore 313? But I did. I chose to put all that stuff down my throat. But the sad thing about Bubba's show is that I'm good with them. And I don't want anybody to think like I'm mad at them. I'm not mad at them at all that I can't go on the terrestrial show because I did piss off some people at Florida Man Radio, Shane Reeves, Shannon Burke. And I've said this that I'm more than willing to admit that I was wrong. Not even willing because it almost sounds like I'm being forced. I'm sorry. Shane Reeves. I'm sorry, Shannon Burke. I would love to take Shannon Burke and Shane Reeves out when I get my first paycheck at my 9-to-5 job that I'm working now and sit down and hash it out, talk. You know, that studio, Florida Man Radio, is in the Maitland area. I'm more than willing. You guys pick the restaurant, Sam Sneed's. Sam Sneed's is a very nice restaurant. I'd be more than willing to take Shane Reeves and Shannon Burke out. They can order whatever they want to. And I'm going to pay for it because I'm wanting to be cool with everybody. You know, Ron Bennington told me, and he was like, hey, you need to, hey, Bubba Light, you don't have to if you don't want to, but can you call into the show? Because, you know what, say what you want, you're Bubba Army royalty, and I'm trying to fix all this, Bubba Light. I really, really am. Uh-oh, got a phone call coming in. Let's see who this is. Tuttle Daily Podcast. Hello?
Hey, Pat, what's up? It's Mitch, brother.
Hey, what's up, man? How are you?
I'm man, just leaving work. You know how it is, man, the trucking field. Late days. But, man, I'm hearing you talking about, with Shannon and Shane Reeve, man. And I think if you were to give a peace offering of some sort.
But what, though? Hey, what? I only know Shannon. I know that Shane Reeves worked at iHeartRadio for a little while, but you know what? The thing is that I was probably so, like, drunk or over-medicated that I was a complete asshole to him. And I don't know what to do. I don't even know where to begin when it comes to a peace offering. I got Bubba Light in here. I also got Dark Match Steve, you know, the world-famous parody guy for the Bubba Love Sponge show. And I'm just trying to, like, figure out what I can do. I didn't even plan on talking about this Fish on Jay. It just ended up happening. And I don't want to push it too much because you know Bubba. Bubba Light knows Bubba. Dark Match Steve knows Bubba. And if you press too hard, you give him the full court press, he's just going to push back even harder, you know?
Yeah, definitely understand. I would say... Maybe start with an email, just expressing how you feel, and see how it goes from there. Either to Shane or Shannon Burke, and you got somewhat good history with Shannon Burke in the past. You know, working with him on Real Radio.
But I think Shannon hates me though. I don't blame him that he hates me. I don't think he was the biggest fan of what I brought on the air and stuff, but and I'm not even doing this apology or trying to make things good to try to get a job or anything. I'm doing it because I think that's what Bubba would want. You know, I know that I've been a complete asshole to Bubba sometimes, but you got to admit this last time that I got fired from Bubba, I think I've been pretty goddamn cool.
Yeah, I mean, look. Just look at the big change that the Sponge has done, and it's made him. He feels so good, you know, as a changed person than where he was back in the 2000s. You know, there was a lot of people I knew that listened to him back in those days that were afraid to call.
Oh man!
Now look at how many calls he gets now.
But see, that's the thing about it, Jason, is that. I don't even, I know that Bubba and them, they don't have a place. They probably don't have the budget to be able to hire me and stuff. I'm happy. I'm content. I'm having a good time. But, you know, they're doing a lot of content on their various and numerous platforms that they do. Hit me on that where I can promote what I'm doing right now. And I'm glad that Bubba Light's in here right now because... You know, Bubba Light does have Bubba's ear because he's a good guy. He's always been kind to me and stuff. And I really do think that I can offer extra content, exclusive content to them. And I'm not even looking to get paid. I just want to be able to promote the content that I'm putting out every single weeknight.
Hey, remember Tuttle on the Street? Everyone loved that.
Exactly. So I know that I messed up. This is a new Tuttle. I mean, look at me. A lot of people are like, oh, Tuttle's not sober anymore. He's not sober at all. Well, guess what? I am. Look at me. Just the physical. I saw pictures the other day from when I was on Bubba's show last time. You know how fat, bloated, and unhealthy I looked in those days, Fish on Jay?
Yeah. You know what? I was content.
Wouldn't you say, like, so, I mean, you... Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I will go ahead and drink, especially with your mom. I remember mm-hmm. the last time when we were hanging out, me and your mom were having a beer, and what was you having? I think you were having water.
Yeah, I drink water. I don't even drink diet soda and stuff. Like, you know, I have a very addictive personality, and what I did was I traded drugs and alcohol to basically just work out and take care of myself. And I don't know. It just gets frustrating. And I don't want anybody to think, like, I'm not going to be mad if they tell me to go fuck myself or whatever, because I'm happy at what I'm doing, Fish on Jay. I told you about the job that I'm working now. I'm happy. I'm making great money. I get to work from home. I get to be able to help take care of my mom still and still do this podcast every single night.
Sounds like a blessing to me.
Yeah, I mean, I'm having a blast, man. I never thought I would ever say that. Because it's been a while since I've worked a 9-to-5 job. So, Fish on Jay, need to go out and do some more surf fishing, because I had a great time the last time we went. Because I definitely want to go back out there.
Oh, yeah, I definitely have another spot for us to go to. And
can we go to Ponce?
Nature trails.
Can we go to Ponce next time? Because I want to go and visit my buddy that owns Ocean Inlet Surf Shop over there. Because, I mean, we can fish on the other side just like we did in New Smyrna Beach, right?
Yes, we definitely can. You definitely have to introduce me to your buddy at Ocean Inlet. Because I think it'll be really cool to get some content on the jet skis fishing the inlet if you can. Mm.
Oh, and my producer, Vulture, says that he definitely wants to go this time to go surf fishing. He wants to hook onto a shark.
Ponce Inlet is definitely a place. I mean, I've caught plenty of sharks at Ponce Inlet. There's so much water flowing through in and out.
Yeah.
And there's so much bait that the sharks are always around. And you know what, Ben, is right there in New Smyrna Beach, shark fight, capital of the world.
All right, Fish on Jay, man. I gotta get ready for the interview that I got coming up. So I really appreciate the phone call. All right, man. See ya. I mean, Bubba Light says, you definitely look better than I have ever seen you, my friend. And I'll just throw it out there. I mean, I might be marking out the Bubba Light, but you know what? You got to do what you got to do and stuff. You do. And like I said, I'm not going to be pissed or whatever. I haven't even tried to call Bubba. And I'm not saying that Bubba's a dick or anything like that, but he's got a lot on his plate and stuff. And I'm not mad at him that he is like, you know, he's got to do what he's got to do. He's got a lot of people that depend on him and stuff. And I did really... I kind of fucked myself when it came to Florida Man Radio. I did. I'm not mad at him at all. Not at all. If I'm being honest, and I told Bubba this. I don't even know if Bubba's talked about this. Last time I talked to Bubba, I thanked him. I thanked him for saving my life. You know, even though those 11 days in the mental hospital, mental institution, whatever you want to call it, sucked. The worst 11 days of my life. That 11 days basically felt like a month and a half. But Bubba, even though he probably didn't want to do it, he sent me there. He sent me there, and I kind of was mad at him, if I'm being honest. I resented what he did. But now looking back on it, it was the biggest wake-up call that I ever had in my life. It was like, I had to, it was a wake-up call. And I knew from that point forward, I never wanted to be there again. I knew that I never wanted to be there again. And I wanted to do whatever I had to do to make sure that I never, ever ended up there again. It's kind of like, you know, that parent, you know, how they use that cliche thing, this is going to hurt me more than it, or it's going to hurt me more than it hurt you. I mean, it was kind of right. Do I think Bubba really wanted to, like, pit me in there with the worst? Well, going in there, going into the hospital, I thought it was the worst of the worst. But it really did open my eyes because I, you know, me, I'm curious. I want to talk to everybody that I can. And when I was talking to all these people, I found out they all had childhood trauma or some type of trauma in their past. And instead of seeing a professional and stuff, what they ended up doing was that they ended up self-medicating because, especially here in the South, and especially if you're a guy, if you tell your friends, family, loved ones, oh, I'm depressed, I'm having depression, suicidal thoughts, whatever it may be, they look at you like you're crazy. What do you got to be depressed about? Man up. Be a man. Real men don't have these type of problems. You know, we just had that big mass shooting. And I'm not trying to say that hate and racism or bigotry doesn't have anything to do with that type of stuff. But for you to do that type of stuff and go and try to mass murder a bunch of people, you got to have some real issues. You got to have some real problems. You're never going to be able to get rid of all the guns. You're not. Everybody calls me a liberal Democrat. No, I don't support any of them. But I also support my right. I exercise my right of the Second Amendment all the time. And if the criminals are going to have them, I'm going to have them too. So I digress. What I'm trying to say is that if we paid more attention when it comes to mental illness, because let's be honest, that's the root of the whole problem. It is. You're never going to get rid of all the guns, so why trying to pass any laws to stop gun sales? I mean, there needs to be tighter restrictions, but it's still not going to do any good. Create all the laws you want to. Because guess what? Criminals do not obey laws. And what they got to do is start concentrating and recognizing mental health. At the very least, you know, and I don't believe in universal health care either. It's just, it's not going to happen here in the United States. So let's just get that out of our mind. So what we need to do, if we're not going to help out with the physical aches and pains and stuff, what we got to do is, at the very least, start offering some free mental health care. I think that's going to do more for gun violence than any other thing you could think of. Because, oh, here we go. Got another phone call coming in. Tuttle Daily Podcast.
Hey, what's up, Tuttle? Jake.
Hey, what up, Jake? Yo, so, all right, so I got my guest coming on tonight from Mississippi. Can you give me any, like, Mississippi stuff that I can, you know, where I can connect with my guests, like anything from Mississippi.
you know, number one, Mississippi, where the basically Mississippi, the birthplace of rock and roll.
Mm-hmm.
Elvis is born here. By the way, I've been waiting on you to get waiting for you to get back to me.
I will. How about this? I'll do it right now. You want to come on Monday? You want to come on Monday or Tuesday? Hold on. Let me look at my calendar real quick, Jake.
All right.
Because you've done a lot for me, man, and I want to make sure that I don't do you wrong and double book you and stuff.
Yeah.
I don't have a guest on Monday, so Monday works for you.
Monday, okay. Monday will work.
And no, I'm gonna email you. I'm gonna email you some topics about Mississippi that you can come on, okay? Because I want to have a good thing. But all right, so a question about Mississippi, because I don't want to. Wasn't Mississippi one of the last states that removed the Confederate flag symbol off of their state flag? Am I right or am I wrong
also,
there?
Also, here's the thing, that it was actually a topic that here's the thing. Our one of our colleges was the Ole Miss Rebels.
Yeah. Did they get rid of it or did they keep it?
They had to get rid of it because people were going crazy about it.
Who do people root for more, Mississippi State or Ole Miss?
Mississippi State.
Yeah, they do.
But here's the thing. I'm more of an Alabama fan.
Oh, you are. Okay. There you go. Roll Tide.
Yeah. By the way, this is the first time I've heard you talk about your thing.
Oh, hold on. Hey, I gotta go. My guest is on. Okay.
All right. I will talk to you all right, Monday.
I'll email you and confirm. Okay. I got my guest here. Yeah. I mean, hold on. Hey, Dark Match Steve, you're right. You really, really are. Yes, ideally someone could have been armed to take him out. But guess what? He was wearing body armor. Somebody did try to shoot at him. Somebody really did. Hey, Timo, are you there, my friend?
Hey, what's going on, bud?
Hey, man. I mean, I can put you back on hold if you're not ready to go, you know. I mean...
Oh, yeah, I was just signing.
You were just signing on and stuff. How much time do you need? I mean, I'm a professional. I can stretch. I can go into a topic and stuff. So you want to wait 8 minutes? I'll come to you at 7:30?
Yeah, that would be fine. I'll be ready.
All right, man. I'm looking forward to it, my friend.
All right, thanks, buddy. What's your name?
I'm Tuttle.
Okay. Let me ask you.
All right, Timo, but I saw you. Is it Dick James or is it Timo?
Well, Timo is my name, but Dick James is my name as an artist.
Oh, okay. So that's like your alter ego type thing. That's where you just cut loose. All right, hey, Timo, I'll be back and I will interview Dick James. Okay.
No problem.
All right, hold on. All right, so I got that going on. Bubba Light, yeah, retired policeman. It was a security guard trying to shoot him, and then the shooter shot hit the security guard. Now, if I'm being honest, like, I have my concealed carry. I have my concealed carry, but guess what? Here, let me give this scenario. If I was in a Winn-Dixie or something, Bubba Light, and I was with my mom, guess what? I'm not going to go looking for the gunman just because I have a gun. Guess what? I want to try to get out of that store. Say I'm in the back of the store. Guess what? I'm going to the stock room, and I'm trying to find the back door. Man, that sounded weird when I said I'm going to try to find the back door and take my mom in the best stock room. Jesus Christ, I'm a goddamn sicko. But what I'm trying to say is that I'm not going to go looking for a gunman that has an AR-15, and I carry well, you know what? It's nobody's business. I carry a pistol. And the thing is that I'm not going to go looking for the guy. What I'm going to do is try to get myself and my mom out of the store. Because I go to the store with my mom, Winn-Dixie. That's my main thing that I want to take care of. Now, if that guy corners me and I have no other choice, yeah, I'll use it. I'm going to use it. Dark Matt Steve, if I were with you in that grocery store, I would have helped you look for the back door. you know what, Dark Matt Steve? I'll be honest with you. I'm very comfortable with my sexuality and stuff. But if I was to, you know, try out and bat for the other team or whatever, play for the other team, I don't think I would make a good top. I really, really don't think I would be. And maybe it's because I'm a nerd or a twink or whatever. So I'll make you a deal, Dark Match. If I ever, like, get desperate and, like, all the women have completely I have no chance with women at all, and I decide to try out the other team and stuff, I'll be your bottom bitch. Is that okay, Dark Match? I don't want you to think like I'm settling for you or anything. Hell, I don't even know if you would think that. I don't know. Might be like a big bragging thing, be like, yo, Tuttle's my bottom bitch. Can I ask, just curious, Dark Matt Steve. I know this is going to sound weird when I say this. But like, would it be bragging? Like, right? I mean, would you go around and tell people like, yeah, Tuttle's my bottom bitch? I helped him to the back door and stuff. I'm just saying, like, I don't know. Maybe my ego is just wanting a little bit of feedback. At least I, you know, would like to know that people would want me if I was going to be a bottom bitch. Hey, Dark Match, I'm down for that, man. We would be better off finding a daddy for the both of us to share. Dark Match, can I ask you this? Are there daddy bottoms or all daddies tops? Because, I mean, to find a daddy bottom, that would just like, you know, I'll be there. I'll hang out. I'm not into doing anything. I can be the worker or whatever. See, I think I went a little too far because Dark Match is like, and you know what? My guess is probably like, oh man, what the fuck am I getting? You know what? I'm a little early here, so I'm going to get into it. Oh man, he's going off the screen again. Damn it. I got Dick James waiting. Look at his poster. He's got posters of himself in the background. Is that a wrestling belt? I think it looks like a wrestling belt. I'm just waiting for Dick James to join. Hey, what up, man?
What's up, bro?
I'm sorry if I I'm sorry if I freaked you out with my topic and stuff, but I get a little sideways. I get a little weird. I talk about some messed up stuff. And by the way, you can. This is not an edited show or anything, so you're more than willing. You can speak freely, my friend. How are you, man?
I'm pretty good. Thanks for asking. Your mic
is like really cutting out right now. I just wanted to let you know, like,
is that better?
It keeps popping. It's like every time you like get at a high point, it's like cutting out on me a little bit. Here, hold on. You wanna log off, try to log back on real quick, see if that fixes the problem. Because I got a lot of questions for you and I want the audio to be good.
All right, no problem. I can do that.
Yeah. It's oh man, I wouldn't be doing you justice if the microphone wasn't like working properly.
All right, so I'll log out and call log back in.
Yeah, man, thank you. I appreciate that. All right, so what do you think? I mean, he's a hip hop artist and he's been waiting on hold. And I'm talking about bottoming for Dark Matt Steve, and then I'm talking to Dark Matt Steve about finding a daddy. Because Dark Match Steve is like, oh, yeah, we need to find a daddy. Let's see how cool he is. Because I got to tell you, that interview I did last night, that was the biggest piece of shit interview I've ever done. No, it wasn't my fault. I'm just saying, the guy was completely It was like I was interviewing a robot. Dark Matt Steve, he replied, that's very uncommon for the bottom to be a daddy or a financial provider. But I knew a friend of a friend like that. Okay, I mean, all right, here we go. I got Timo coming in. Hey, how are you?
I'm bad.
Oh, no, way better, man.
Awesome.
So here, I'm going to start off as Timo, but then I will call you Dick James from here on out. Timo, where are you calling from? I know originally you're from Mississippi, right?
I am originally from Mississippi.
What is that like? You know, the great thing about the United States is it's such a big country. Regionally, there's not differences. We're all people and stuff, but I'm just talking about culture, things you got to go through. Living in the South, I'm a Florida cracker, born and raised in Florida, and it's just Florida's a different. It's almost its own country almost sometimes. What was it like growing up in Mississippi? Because I could be wrong. Wasn't Mississippi one of the last states to remove the Confederate flag from their state flag?
Just in the last 2 years.
How was that growing up in Mississippi? I mean, everybody thinks that things, you know, oh, there's not that type of stuff that goes around. But, I mean, it had to, you know, shape you as a person. Probably you've written and rapped about stuff. Or, you know, how was it growing up in Mississippi?
Mississippi, Florida, Louisiana, Texas, Alabama,
SEC, SEC, SEC. Yeah, it's basically the SEC, you know.
Yeah. They kind of pretty much one of the same. And growing up, yeah, racial, man. I mean, you have to be into some outlandish things to be able to have your mind surpass these type of ideologies, because pretty much was every day, everywhere you look. And at the age of 14, 15, I was back and forth with my mother about signing me up at the age of 17 to join the military so that I could leave Mississippi, because I didn't see opportunities.
What branch were you looking to go into?
I actually joined the United States Army.
Wow, man. I mean, that's pretty badass. Now, Let's get into some fun stuff. You know, Florida, you know, all these states are known for their food. Mississippi, what is Mississippi? What are they famous for when it comes to food?
Your good old catfish.
Oh, now catfish, I mean, are you filleting, you skinning? How do they prepare it when they go with the catfish?
Different people like it different ways. I prefer to eat it filleted. Any form of fish, I enjoy eating it filleted. But you got a lot of people that like catfish with the bone, whole entire head on it.
Man, you bring that up. A lot of white people will not eat a fish that's got all the bones in. Like, oh man, I'm afraid of. Man, I was friends with so many African Americans that were like, man, they could put a whole fish with the bone and everything, put it between two pieces of bread, and not even like worry about the bones in there. I'm like, I'm afraid of getting a bone stuck in my throat and stuff. But I mean, it's all about culture and stuff. It really is. Because white people, they want their stuff filleted. They want it, like, baked or whatever. So catfish, that's interesting. That really, really is. You know, I mean, I've eaten the saltwater cats before. And a lot of people don't want to eat catfish because they think, oh, it's a bottom feeder. It is. Did you guys ever do lunch low country boils? You know, with the shrimp, the crab, stuff like that?
That's one of my favorites. I mean, seafood and Italian. And Jamaican foods. Those are like my favorite cuisines.
Man, the Caribbean food is like on a different level, because there was this one chick that moved into, because I was living at an RV park for a while, and she was from Trinidad and Tobago. The Trinis, man, they love to put spice on the food, man. But it was so good, and they love to spoil the men. I don't know what it is about the Caribbean women. They love to take care of the guys.
Yes, absolutely.
So, Timo, Dick James, let's talk a little bit about your music and stuff. You know, a lot of hip-hop artists, because I'm a Gen Xer. I grew up in the 90s and stuff. A lot of the hip-hop and stuff that you see in the 90s, they talked about real-life things. You see a lot of hip-hop artists now, the current ones. It's all about what I have, you don't have. And then you see some of the artists. Could you imagine if we would have had NWA back in the, back when we were going through all this civil unrest and stuff? Could you imagine some of the music that they could have came up with? Yeah. I mean, you had Nas, you had Jay-Z, Pac, Biggie. You know, I know that every generation thinks that their music is the best. And maybe I'm that person, but it just seems like the hip hop, it was just, it had more meaning.
It did. Basically, it was a storyline of people who lived impoverished communities.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And that's just really what it's about.
Your mic is bad again.
It's
damn
back
it.
Again?
Yeah.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, better? I can hear you, but it's still it's clipping.
Yeah,
it's clipping really bad. You know what? I don't want to screw up the audio because I want it to be good. So if we gotta reset like we did, I'll bring you right back on. You know, because I want the audio to be good. You know,
absolutely.
All right, I'll talk to you here in just a second. All right.
All right, bud.
All right. All right, so while Timo is trying to get that stuff figured out, if you guys want to touch bases, you can give me a call here, 407-270-3044. And as always, I love it when the people in the chat room have questions. So if you got questions for my guest, Timo, put them in the chat room. I will ask him. I don't care what type of question it is. I'll be more than willing to ask him anything. Hell, if you want to make me feel uncomfortable and stuff, just ask any question you would like. Just chat it up in the chat room and stuff, and I will bring you right on. All right, let's see. You good?
Yes, sir.
Oh,
how about yourself?
Perfect, perfect. So back to it. Where did everything go wrong in the hip-hop industry? Well, music itself, you can say that about any type of music. Where did it go wrong where it was about? Do you think it's social media? Do you think it's, where did it go wrong where it just became about what I have?
Well, it was, well, social media did have a lot to do with it if you actually think about it.
Because, MySpace?
Yeah, I mean, and that's what I just jarred on, like back to 2005, 2006, 2004, mm-hmm. even 2007. And I recorded a song called Better Days and Love. And it was for those reasons that I recorded the song, because in the music during that period of time, guns, drugs, and violence and things of that nature was taking over the airways. And it was the Mr. So-and-so, I'm this, I'm that, the tough guy rapper,
mm-hmm.
the braggadocious rapper. And today, it's pretty much the same. It's been going on for a period of like close to 15 years.
What are some of your influences? What did you grow up listening to?
I am a hip hop baby. I'm like you. The late 80s and 90s era was really a golden music, because all of the popular genres like R&B, pop, reggae, and music from Florida. We like to call it booty music.
95, are you talking about Uncle Luke? Talk about Uncle 95, Luke. 95 South, you're talking, yeah. Yeah.
And Clan, Trick Daddy. You know, that era really like took over the late 90s, because that's when we really began mm-hmm. to party. We had fun with our music, but that type of music took it to a whole type of like Girls Gone Wild mm-hmm. type of era, you know what I'm saying?
You know, a lot of people, I don't think 2 Live Crew, Uncle Luke, get enough credit for defending the First Amendment, though. Like, because Weren't they the first group where they got that parental advisory sticker on their album and stuff? And yeah. and they were getting in trouble. And I remember, I forget it, was it Mel Martinez was the governor at the time? Do you remember the song that they did? Because he was like,
fuck Martinez.
And then they even went even, they took it the next step forward. They're like, Martinez's wife sucks a good dick. Yeah, it was just like, I mean, I was like, holy crap, they just did not care. Yeah. And guess what?
Yeah.
I mean, music is protected speech. I mean, right. I mean, that could not be played on the radio, but if people decide to buy it, that's up to them, man. And it just, it I think that they really, really don't get enough credit for doing what they did. Do you remember the movie CB4? Do you remember CB4, the movie? I mean,
Charlie Murphy.
Yeah. Yes, do you remember where, like, the politicians just love to latch on to controversial musicians to make a name for themselves?
Yes, they did that. Yeah, they absolutely did. It's like, well, that was like a lifeline to political influences in the mid-90s when it came to black and urban films.
Mm-hmm.
The same thing in Higher Learning.
Oh, man. Can I remember I was the only white guy in the movie theater. I went to Higher Learning and, you know, I was a baseball player back in the day and, you know, baseball players, they go with the shorter cut and everything. And I was like, I started realizing, I was like, holy fuck, I look like Remy. My hair's really short and stuff. And I was like, uh-oh, this ain't good. But that movie has a lot of poignant points to it, Higher Learning, you know.
It did. It absolutely did.
Yeah, but I also remember me and my white friends watching, like, Juice. Do you remember the movie Juice back in the day?
Sir.
I love Juice. And then Menace to Society, man. We all, like, that was another one. We thought we were all tough and everything after watching that. We'd get all types of hype watching it and stuff. But, I mean, isn't that kind of great that it connected with a very nerdy Caucasian like myself?
Yeah, it is. I mean, because you have to be able to identify with somebody first, you know?
Yeah, it was. So I want to get into this. So you've been writing the music. You're out in Los Angeles or California right now, right?
Yes.
Hold on. I'm getting a little tired. I have ADHD, so I go all over the place. One of the questions, I got to ask about the hair. How long have you been growing the hair out? Like, you got it. I was seeing some of the pictures, and that shit's kind of down to your ass almost. Like, I mean, how much maintenance and stuff are you having to do with that?
I've been doing it for so long now that it comes second nature. It's not an issue. I just roll it, throw it, wrap it, twist it.
So is that considered dreads, or is it like, what would you label the hair as?
Yeah, they're locks.
They are locks. Yeah. I mean... But also, the other thing I gotta say, I think the ladies like the hair, because I see all types of ladies in your pics and stuff like that. You a married dude? You dating? You got kids?
I am dating, man. And my kid is a young adult. She's married with a beautiful family.
Wait, your daughter is?
Yes.
Can I ask you, how was that when your daughter got to the age where she was dating and stuff? Were you like... one of those fathers, because come on, as guys, we know how we were. We know how we were and stuff.
Yeah.
Is it because I don't have any kids? Is it kind of one of those things, if you push too hard, they're going to fight back on you? Like, how did you handle that?
I just realized that, you know, I was raised by a mother and she raised me properly. So I didn't get out there and I didn't mistreat and I didn't misuse any of the young women that were in my life throughout my duration. And I've had plenty.
Mm-hmm.
And so I rest assurance on that, because in life we do get the karma that we put out there. But I've managed to hold myself accountable and managed to become a better person along the way. And I trust and believe in her. She's a beautiful young lady, and the young man, he's very...
You like him?
I love him. I mean, you know, I'm proud to call him a son, because he's a self-motivator. It doesn't require much for him to get up, go out, because he he's a provider and he enjoys doing that, you know?
I'm not trying to pry. So you said your mom, was your dad involved that much growing up or no?
Not during the young age. We weren't because, you know, my mother just decided that she didn't want to marry my father. You know, my father wanted to marry, but she didn't want to marry him. She wanted to stay down in Mississippi because she wanted to take care of her parents. And my father was a traveler. He was like me. He wanted to go and give her this life in St. Louis. And she just...
Man, you could have been with the St. Lunatics. You could have been with Nelly at the time.
Yeah. Yeah, I could have, actually. I really could have.
Well... You know? But I mean, did you like still have a great relationship with your father and stuff? Or
yeah, I mean, my father's 83 years of age now.
Damn,
I'm constantly learning a lot of amazing things from my father, like being able to live a prosperous life.
Yeah, you know, I really think that, you know, when we were younger, we were like, oh man, old people are so boring and stuff. But you know, as I've gotten older, I've realized yeah, you can go to Google, you can search stuff, but to get those real life lessons and stuff, you know, all you got to do is sit down and just have a conversation with an old person, your elders and stuff, because they went through a lot of stuff that we didn't have to go through.
Yes. Yes, they definitely did that. They witnessed a lot of atrocious events. Yep. I'm happy that we did not have to experience a lot of the harsh things that they were forced to go through. Mm-hmm. I'm happy we didn't.
While I got you right now, before we go any further, tell my audience where they can check you out on social media, where they can find your music and stuff, and check it out.
My name is Dick James. A.K.A. Dick James, the artist, A.K.A. the hip-hop Stevie Wonder. And my music is available on all of your digital and streaming platforms, whatever your preference is, iTunes, Shazam, and Gummy over in Africa, Apple Music, damn, Tidal, mm-hmm, Spotify, Deezer, you name it. Wherever you like to go, stream music, look at videos, YouTube music, you can find myself, Dick James, the artist.
Being out in California, I'm sure you've run into like some pretty famous people. I mean, that's where everybody's at. Like, have you run into anybody, even if it's semi-famous, but like, man, I, you know, like music stuff or anything like that? Because I, you know, everybody thinks California. You're in Los Angeles area, right?
Yeah.
All right. North, so Hollywood. Yeah, everybody thinks. So, oh man, you just walk down the street, you're gonna see famous people like every other block.
In a lot of cases, you're going to see famous people in that type of experience. Walking down every other block, I don't know, but definitely shopping centers, places like malls.
You ever find any like famous ladies going to the store and buying tampons or anything like nothing like that? No.
They're human. Yeah, they're human.
I'm just asking, you know, because everybody thinks that they're famous. They're not like us. A lot of people probably think the famous people don't even take a dump or anything, you know, so. Right?
That's not true.
I mean, they do.
Yeah.
So who's the one person that you bumped into out in Los Angeles here? Like, oh man, that's such and such.
Well, I mean, I deal with celebrity status people on a regular because of my business. I've been in the business since like 2001, and a lot of my partners and relationships, they're already million dollar people, platinum recording artists. I have a few songs with some platinum recording artists, so that right there does not alarm me. I've known great people at least half of my life.
Well, I mean, everybody thinks that stuff, but I mean, I don't know. I think it'd be kind of cool, like if you ran into Denzel and he was buying like a Slurpee out of 7-Eleven or something, and be like, "Yo, Denzel, you getting the Coke? You getting the the Mountain Dew Baja Blast Slurpee or something like that?"
That's always great because you know somebody like Denzel is above the average, you know, your level entertainer. So I always show, you know, my humbleness when I do meet people that I I'm influenced by it. I'm influenced by a lot of different people, matter what ethnic background they come from, you know, just good people, positive, powerful, influential people in general.
Be honest, what did you think about Diddy hosting the Billboard Awards? Like, should he, you know what, I'll tell you how I feel, and if you want to blink, I don't know if, like, Diddy has a lot, well, he's in New York more, so he's afraid of the West Coast anyway, so, you know, like, I don't know, like, Diddy, I don't know, I thought it was kind of lame, sorry, I really did, and you don't have to, like, back me up on that, but, come on, man.
Nah, man, I mean, it's, I love Diddy.
Oh, he's done a lot of great stuff.
That's why I love him, because of the things that he were able to accomplish that other people can benefit from. And then on the flip side, it's time for new, fresh, innovative experiences and personnel. And Diddy has spent a majority of his time. It's time for something different.
Just retire.
Same sentiment, bro. I mean, it's like, for the numbers of that particular show to be as low as they were, the only thing you can attribute to that, the people who were the host.
Yeah. No, I mean,
him being the executive producer,
that's on him.
Should have been enough.
Yeah, that's on him. But, like, sometimes, you know, a lot of athletes, I mean, look at sports athletes, they stay in the game too long. You know, you just don't know when to, like, step back, call it a career, and enjoy your money. Relax. Do all that stuff. And, you know, Diddy's made a lot of people's careers. He had a good career as well, too. I mean, the guy's probably worth more than most people in the hip-hop business and stuff. Enjoy it. Enjoy it.
Put other people in good positions to be able to have somewhat of that type of success and experiences as yourself. Because that's the whole reason for him being in that role. And he just hadn't figured that out totally yet. Well, I'm not going to say he hadn't figured it out. He just hasn't applied that to himself totally yet. And I would like to see that happen.
What's your opinion on this Kanye? I really, really do think that Kanye might be a genius, you know, because he might be working everybody that we don't even know. Because, I mean, his first couple of albums were just so, like, they were just so smart, so brilliant. And then it's just like, he figured out, I got to play the game. I got to play the game. If I don't play the game, I'm going to get left behind. But, and I don't even know what to believe. I don't even know if I believe this whole Pete Davidson, Kanye, Kim thing. It's just, I'm like, holy crap, what the hell is going on?
Yeah, man, it's like so much, and it's always all about attention and money.
Mm-hmm.
It's no relevance to reality, even though that's a part of their reality, but those are choices, man. And, you know, Pete was cool to me prior to being caught up in this.
Mm-hmm. But who knows? Who knows if he's in on it or not in on it? Like, it just, you just don't know. And if they came out and Dave was like, oh, man, this was a whole, because I, you know, growing up in the South, you were a wrestling fan probably, right? You probably watched wrestling back in the day, right?
Absolutely.
Exactly. Yes, this could be a whole wrestling gimmick. This could all be, hey, he probably was on Saturday Night Live one time. He was like, hey, let me run something by with you. I'm going to be with one of the Kardashians. Don't know which one. I'm going to be with her for a while. And later on down the road, you're going to hook up with her. And then I'm just going to lose my mind and talk all this stuff. And it's just like, you don't ever know. I mean, just like you don't know what the media, the politicians, all that stuff. They could all be just fooling us all.
Yeah, man. Most of the time, that's what it is, a script.
Yeah. It's just, it's weird, man. So, but I gotta ask, so you've been doing that. Have you ever done anything to get, like, publicity? Have you ever, like, gone to that, like, route? And look, I work in radio. Radio is the rats of the media. we will do anything to get attention. So, like, I'm not judging you. Matter of fact, I might praise you even more if you, because we've all done that. You got to stand out. I mean, yeah. the content creating, music creating, just entertainment itself is so diluted now. You got to do something to stand out. Have you, when you first started, did you have a gimmick? Like, you were like, oh, man, why did I do that back in the day? Like, was it a style, an outfit, hats, anything like that? You were like, oh, man, that's embarrassing.
All of the above, man, because we take it back. We were learning. It was new. So we didn't have anyone or any blueprint or guideline that could say, hey, this is how you go. This is the area you want to stay away from.
Mm.
So it was an adopting period. Today, it's more advanced than it was prior. So it's a little bit different, you know?
What was the one fashion fad you were like, oh, man, I'm embarrassed about that?
Me, myself, yeah. Man. I of course, I was Army fit.
Yeah.
And the ladies was not a problem, so I didn't have any problem being damn near naked, man.
Oh, so you were wearing the tight stuff. Like, you know, you think back in the day, the hip-hop style was, you know, baggy clothes, you know, the shoes and stuff. But
I would do fashion shows.
Oh.
And I would put on a pair of swim trunks, bikini swim trunks, like female, because I thought I was so fine. And I thought I was, you know, I thought I was the dream for every woman. So I was very imaginative.
I've never had that feeling in my life. Never had that feeling in my life. I mean, I've always been a confident person, but deep down I was like, oh, man. I am the less masculine, sexy guy in the world. If I wear short shorts, my little package is going to be poking out the front or whatever. And then if I was like this, like, strong guy like you were, I'd be like, fuck, man, I'll chub that shit up before I even go out on stage to walk the runway and everything, you know? Never had that problem.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm sorry if I'm, you know, you're probably like,
nah,
oh, man.
You're cool. I like it, man. You're genuine, too. You know
what's that now?
I said you're genuine. I like that.
Man, I've done a lot of stuff that I'm not proud of. But you know what, though? It's been for the better because I don't get embarrassed anymore. I really don't. I really don't give a fuck what people think. Isn't it funny when you get older? It's like, you know, when you're in your late teens, early 20s, you're like, You're caught up in what people think about you and stuff. And when you get older, you just become way more confident because you are. You're like, fuck them. I don't care. What do I care about?
Right. Self-awareness, man. Now, that's a part of confidence right there.
It is. And I think, you know, like just the conversation we've had. Like I did a little bit of show prep on it, but I can just talk to anybody. I really can. I got to be careful. Because sometimes I go in a little too hard, like I do, like, you know, like I'll get too comfortable and I'll say something that will just be, but isn't that what it's all about, though? Just being comfortable, man. and around people and stuff. But then what is it? What has happened where people are just want to be offended with the cancel culture and stuff? I don't get it. Like, I think that you got to be aware of things you can or cannot say. But at the same time, I mean, the whole country is based on First Amendment. Do I support racist people? No, I don't. I don't support them. But guess what?
They have a freedom to be who they are and however they choose to be.
Exactly.
Even though there are consequences for most people. But, you know, that's a waste of energy, man.
But wouldn't you want to know where somebody stands? Because I, you know, the guy, best man at my wedding, Kevin. Black guy, he was, and he always said, he was like, the undercover racists are the ones you got to look out for. He was like, I'd rather them just be way open now, you know? And it's just like, I'm not even talking, I mean, that's on one end of the spectrum. I'm talking about just people getting offended, like the Dave Chappelle thing, you know, with the transgender community. I don't care what people do in their private life. I really, really don't. But guess what? Dave's got the right to say that type of stuff.
Thank you. That's where the issue comes in hand. It's not about what Dave is saying. It's about them controlling the narrative. Because a lot of cases, they don't feel as strongly as they would like the audiences to believe that they feel. a lot of them haven't even been real with who they are and the choices they make and the people that participate in the type of things that they enjoy. A lot of them are still hiding those things. And I'm not saying it's open to the public, but the way they conduct themselves is though that's what they're trying to do. They're trying to open Pandora's book and force people like yourself and myself to be entertained by or participate in it, whether it's directly or indirectly. And I don't see where America or any other major entity has forced normalcy on people,
nope.
Like male and female. So the idea of forcing homosexuality and things of that nature on people, it's too much.
It is. But I don't care what people do in their private life. You know, living here in Orlando, very, very LGBTQ community. You know, we had one of the worst mass shootings of all time. With the pole shooting and stuff at the nightclub and stuff. So I've been around it. And the thing is that when I was younger, once again, back to what I was talking about, when you're growing up younger, you know, you're told certain things around your guys, your friends, your family members and stuff. And I got to the point where it's like, I don't care what people do in their private lives at all. Have you ever, like, come up with a line or a piece of music or something you put out that somebody was like, hey man, that's not cool?
Yeah, I have. I'm sure I have, especially in the past, younger mindset, learning different things and not being afraid and not even tuned into politics, because you have this, not to say I don't care mentality, but you do have to have an edgy attitude in order to come up with creative material.
Mm-hmm. No, you know? I mean, yeah, because it does stifle creative minds, because you're like, oh, this is how I feel, but am I going to get in trouble for pinning this in a song or a joke or in a piece of writing and stuff? So I didn't mean to get all political and stuff. When I bring guests on and stuff, I just like to have a conversation with people. And I got to tell you, like, there's some guests that I have on, they're not being real. They're not just having a conversation and stuff. I mean, they're really not, because once again, they're afraid they might, you know, offend somebody or, you know, they can't be themselves. And I can't thank you enough, man, because I like doing this. I have fun doing this. And for you to come on and be real, open and honest like you have been, I really do appreciate it. Who is that on the poster? Is that you in the background?
Yeah, that's me and the young lady. Her name is I Am Brill.
Mm-hmm.
And she's featured on my chart-topping single called All I Need.
And she's
from my original hometown in Mississippi. And so
she's all I need. I don't know what it is. Like, strong black women. I mean, is she? I can't see. There's a big glare on it. I can't see if she's got the curves and stuff. But it would be too much. It'd be too much. You know, there's some sexual moves that white guys like myself can't do, you know, because we're not equipped with certain things to do certain positions, if you know what I mean. And I'm not trying to be disrespectful. It's just like, I don't think she wants me making love to booty meat, and that's about it, because I wouldn't be, because of, alright, I'm going to stop now, and because that could be like your chick or whatever, and I didn't even ask you. So, Dick, I'm sorry, I'm all flustered. Tell my audience once again, before we go, how they can check out your music and stuff.
You guys can listen to my music on YouTube Music, YouTube, Amazon, Apple, iTunes, Tidal, and Gummy, Shazam.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever your preference is, if you're into streaming digital music, type in Dick James and enjoy yourself.
Oh, well, I'm sure they will. Hey, Dick James, Timo, I'm going to get this edited up. I'll send you the link and stuff. If there's anything you need, man, I really enjoyed this. Hopefully you did as well, too. You're probably going to get off and be like, man, that guy was a goddamn weirdo.
Nah, you, You're cool, man. You're really cool, like K-O-O-L and C-O-O-L. Because you're authentic.
Well, I...
That's what it takes for you to be great as a host, man. Don't do anything to your personality and to the way you come up with your ideas, because your energy is definitely genuine, man.
Hey, what belt is that you got on the wall? We were talking about wrestling. Is that like a championship belt or what is that?
Yeah, man. It was given to me for the titles that I've been winning. I've been put in categories and competitions on different charts and playlists, man. And I've been going all the way up to the top, number one.
You battle rap at all? You battle rap at all? No. You never been into the battle rapping?
Yeah, man. That's where I came from.
Hey, is Eminem taking, like, I know he's great, but some people are like, oh man, he's whack or whatever. But I mean, he's like the one guy, like you'll see all these like seasoned hip hop artists and stuff. And they're like, yo, that's the one guy you don't want to go after. Like he does not care, you know, talking about, being afraid about saying something offensive. Fuck, yeah. Eminem was the original creator of that stuff, right? Because he was talking about killing his mom, his wife. Yeah. He was talking about just some stuff that a lot of people would not even touch.
He was the first artist to get recognized for mental health.
Yeah.
The first major platform artist to get recognized for mental health. So shout out to him for that, man. And
cause that's not like something they talk about in the hip hop community either. You know, last radio job I had, I got fired from, or not fired from, but I ended up trying to, you know, harm myself, and luckily I was unsuccessful. It's been 11 days in a hospital and stuff, but I was talking about this before, you know, yeah, there's a lot of hatred, like with this Buffalo shooter and stuff. Yeah, he went to go kill minorities up there. That's what he wanted to do. But let's be honest, you're never going to get rid of the guns. Just not going to happen. I think you would be better off concentrating more on mental health.
Yeah.
It would cut down way more on gun violence or these mass shootings.
Yes.
I think they would.
It would. I mean, because that part of our lives and our indoctrines just totally got left out.
Yeah.
Nobody ever talked about mental health.
Well, here in the South, you grew up in the South. You know, I'm not saying, you know, my dad passed away last year. And you know, I'm not saying my dad was bad, but it was just how they were raised. If I would have went to my dad and said, hey, Dad, I'm depressed. I'm not feeling good. You know, it would have been, what do you got to be depressed about? I feed you. You got to close. You ain't got to work. You just got to go to school, play baseball, do all that stuff, and you're good to go. Now, I'm not saying that he was not caring, but if he would have said that to his father, he probably would have gotten beat for it.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's just it's a cycle that we all have to end, just like racism, mental health, just all that stuff.
It really is, man. It's a trying area. However, we can, man. We can heal from it. We can raise our levels of awareness, and we can grow, and we can do away from it, man.
Yeah.
And do away with it. We just have to have that spirit and be willing to do so.
Hey, one last question, because I do take questions from the chat room and stuff. Nelly Mandingo, what about Eminem singing the N-word? Like, does that bother you at all? I mean, it's just a question that somebody in the audience asked. You know, Eminem,
and does he Eminem get a pass? Is from the same background that I am. He's from the trailer park.
Yeah, he is.
So he grew up with me, basically. So it's like him using that word, it's not the same terminology.
Yeah, it's all about, it's work.
He's not using it to offend me. He's using it because
as a term of endearment. Right. Or, you know, it's there is a way. I mean, I never use it. Well, I'd be lying if I had never said when I was a dumbass kid back in the day that I never, ever did. Okay.
Yeah.
So I'm just being real. But what I'm saying, though, is that it's more of where it comes from, the intent, right? Like.
Yes. And the individuals who
your friend.
Yeah, man.
Yeah.
It's more like an action, because if you want to be offensive, it's going to be clear.
Yeah.
There's no in between. You're not meaning to be offensive. That's also going to be clear.
Yeah. Hey, Timo, send me an email after this. I know you've been with my producer talking, but my email is Tuddle, T-U-D-D-L-E, @gmail.com. I'd like to keep in touch with you, and you know, maybe if there's some topics that come up and stuff, have you on as a guest to get your opinion on stuff, okay?
Absolutely.
All right, man. Hey, I really, really enjoyed this. I hope you have a great night, and if you need anything at all, like I said, send me that email so you have my contact as well, okay?
I got you, Tuttle. Thank you, bro. You had a great day. I had a great day. Keep doing what you're doing. You're outstanding.
Hey, man, have a great night, and I really appreciate that.
Peace.
All right. All right, guys, going to get out of here. I want to thank everybody that checked out tonight's show. You know, follow me on social media. Just search Tuttle. Tuttle with two Ds, T-U-D-D-L-E. I'm going to get out of here. Hopefully you guys had a great day. Hopefully you stay safe, and I will talk to you tomorrow.